So we are we're doing tshuva, getting ready for Yom Kippur, and there are four elements of tshuva that the Rambam writes about in Hilchos Tshuva. One is to do with the past, one has to do with the present, one has to do with the future, and one is verbalizing it in order to bring it down and make it real. There's a feeling of regret of what happened in the past. There's a current abandoning the sin right now, stopping what it is that one is doing right now. And there's a Kabbalah for the future. And the Rambam takes the Kabbalah for the future very seriously. And he writes that the Kabbalah has to be in a way that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will testify that a person won't go and do it again. A little better. That's okay.
Okay.
Yeah?
I have to make sure it's charging.
There's no one there. Do they
know that?
There's no one there. Okay. I'm going to continue. You okay?
Yeah, that's good.
Hopefully
they won't die.
So, what our goal this evening is to work out how to make a Kabbalah. Now, in order for the Kabbalah to work, just understand the background behind the Kabbalah. This page that I just gave out now is an updated page. On yesterday's page that I gave out, there was a guidelines for making Kabbalah in 6 points. This elaborates on it in more detail. So I'm going to use today's one, the new one, which is just a more elaborated version of this concept. The real goal of Yom Kippur is coming to a place of taharat alev. It's coming to a place of where a person has the desire to be pure before Hashem, the ratzon to be good, the tahir libeinu, lifnei Hashem titaru, it is about Yom Kippur. That's the real goal. But any goal, which is just expressed in lofty terms, and is said in, I want to be good, then it doesn't have grounding. And if it doesn't have grounding, then it usually lasts for as long as the experience is going on. Rav Pinkus writes about this, and I've mentioned it here before, when he speaks about a kumzit. He's like, in a kumzit, people often enjoy it very much. And they sing, and there's an emotional high. But then when the kumzit ends, you know, a few minutes is still enjoyable, and it's still enjoyable, and maybe a person will go to sleep with a nice feeling. But then the next day, they're right back to where they were pretty much. Like, even though they had an emotional high, and they maybe even at that moment of the kumzit, like mean singing about Tahir li beinu l'avdecha be'emet, and really meaning it, genuinely, authentically meaning it, but if there isn't a grounding, I just imagine you have like an electric rod, a lightning rod, where the lightning is just like shining up the sky, but you can't take electricity from that, you can't power anything from that. But if you make a lightning rod, and then when that lightning is going through the heavens, you're able to channel it and ground it. Then you can actually build something with it. You can take the power, you can take the energy. So the idea of the Kabbalah is not so much about the Kabbalah for its own sake. Dare I even say, what you choose for a Kabbalah isn't so important. Right? It's not true, because we're going to see very clear guidelines of how making the Kabbalah in an effective way. But it's less important, really, what the Kabbalah is. But it has to be grounded. It has to be that you're doing it, the emotional, in a way which is connected to the physical. You have to have found a way to channel your heart into something practical and physical. And therefore, the third stage of tshuva is taking on a Kabbalah for the future. Taking on something which is real and practical, we are showing Hashem, you're not only speaking about doing tshuva on a lofty level, on a high level of closest to Hashem with your guitar, you're speaking about a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and this is what I'm taking on, this is practical what I'm doing. Once upon a time, there was a guy, maybe some people know him here, Ben Sion, sat next to me. Tall, wearing an NTSY collar.
No.
Fell, Ben Sion fell. So he was in my Bayit Chum once upon a time, and I once spoke about encouragement of learning Gemara. It was a shir on a chizuk of Gemara. And he said that when he finished the Bayit Chaim, and it was like 11:15, 11:30 at night, He was planning to go back to his room and go to sleep, but he came away with a feeling of connection to the concept and empowered by the idea of learning Gemara. So he said, I just have to go to the Beis Medrash first. And he went and he learned for 10 minutes. Just in order to bring that high that he'd had from a concept into some practice. And you always have to find a way to do that. Anytime you have an emotional high, you have to find immediately, while you're still feeling it, some action that you can take which serves as your lightning rod that can bring that idea, which is a lofty idea, down to practice. So I wrote here, the real Kabbalah isn't limited to a small specific action. The real Kabbalah is an inner desire to be close with Hashem. But it needs an anchor. It needs to be grounded. It needs to find expression. It needs a tangible to Kabbalah. And the time when you express that is Ne'ilah. During your Ne'ilah, and obviously you have to have thought before, which is why we're speaking about it now. During your Ne'ilah, when you're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, close the Shah, and seal me with a year of closeness to you, Hashem. And Hashem says, well, what are you offering? What are you doing from your perspective to show that you care? And then you say this tiny act. And you might think to yourself, well, that's what I'm showing Hashem? That I'm going to bench from a bencher? Like, that's what I'm showing Hashem? That's my big act that I'm doing? And the answer is yes, because it shows Hashem that you're serious about what you're doing and you've already taken the first step. You've already shown Hashem, you've already got a plan, like we spoke about yesterday. I already have a plan. This first step isn't everything I'm doing. It's not that I went through all of 40 days of Elul and Aser Simei Tshuva and I got through Yom Kippur and Neila. And what is my big thing that I'm doing? I'm saying Ala Michia from a card. That's the big accomplishment? Yes, it is. Because it's not just about Ala Michia from the card. It's about showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I'm taking all that emotional high that I have and I'm grounding and I'm taking my first practical step in order to build all that world of emotional closeness to Hashem in a grounded way. And therefore, one should never belittle the small actions, because they are not just the action, but they're an entire world of emotion of closeness that you're bringing them. So in order to be practical, so therefore Lamaisa, Halacha Lamaisa, in the Ila, you should already have thought, before the Ila, you should have thought through what your Kabbalah is. And as you're davening in asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for closeness, then when he seals you with the Kabbalah as well. And you have to make it, obviously, well, you're going to see all the guidelines in a way that's going to work, but then you are expressing your desire to be close to Hashem through that very small thing. Okay. So we have here a few guidelines of how to make it successful. Because unfortunately, many people make a Kabbalah, and then around Hanukkah time, or maybe next Elul, and they go, what was my Kabbalah again? Oh yeah, I remember. Did I do that? I think I did it for those 3 days after Yom Kippur, but then, I don't know, I didn't intend not to do it. I just don't know what happened. Just some way along the line, it just vanished, and just I don't know how that happened. But if you do it wisely, you do it in a smart way, then you have the ability to keep it throughout the year. So number one is specific. The more detail you include in the Kabbalah, the greater your chance of success. Don't say a very general, I'm going to have more Kabbalah in brachos, but rather say, I'm going to stand still when I say the bracha of Asher Yatzah. I mean, if you're very general and very broad, it's not going to go anywhere. Often when you ask people who are not doing something well, what are you going to do? And they say, I'm going to try harder. It doesn't mean anything. It's not going to go anywhere. How are you going to try hard? I'm just going to try hard. Okay, fine, thank you. Right, it's a waste of the words. It's a waste of the word. Like, it didn't go anywhere. The more general you are, the less chance there is of success. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm a very big believer in having a vision and a mission, and we spoke about that a lot. But what we're doing now is to bring that down into very bite-sized, practical lightning rod in order that it will be lasting. So it has to be very, very specific. And even when you think of the area, like brachas, you have to choose which bracha, and you have to choose which time of the day of that bracha, and you have to choose, well, what specifically about that bracha, like I gave the example of standing still while making the bracha. You have to be extremely specific. And the more you break it down and you're very, very specific, the first time I say Yashat Tzav of the day, I'm going to say it standing still. Right, so when I know that when I walk, when I say it, I don't think clearly. I just like walk and I'm saying my bracha and I'm not focused. So that's very specific. Which bracha, which time of the day, what action you're doing in order to make it real. That's the example number one. And I added here, relate to how you do it, where it applies and when it applies. So there are certain times where a Kabbalah is not going to be able to apply in every area. So for example, let's say you take on a Kabbalah which is to do with eating, right? So that might be different if you're in the Chag Rochel, or maybe if it's Shabbos, as opposed to a weekday, or with your family, or if it's a Freshik meal or a Milchik meal. You have to be extremely specific. And if the Kabbalah that you took on is one that won't always apply, then you'll say to yourself, oh, it doesn't apply in this meal. Let's say, for example, let's say the example I went to before, let's say a Kabbalah that you're going to bench from a bencher, because you know that you have more Kavanah when you do that. So that's going to be terrible, because then what happens if you're in the Chag Rochel on a Shabbaton and there's no bencher? So you're going to bench? And there's no benches. So what are you going to do? So you'll break your Kabbalah, and once you've broken it, you feel that you're broken. So you have to take that all into account ahead of time. You have to work out what the circumstances will be. To say, when I have a bencher, I will bench from a bencher. Like, make it very practical and real. Take all the, you have to make it successful. Make it in a way where you've broken it down so much specifics, detail, that it's going to work. That's point number one. Point number two, the M, measurable. And that's something positive, and a positive action, not a not doing a negative action, right? I can't express this point enough, because this is what maybe will fail in this area. I'll just give an example from a different world. Then, if you want a child to not go down a slide head first, if you want a child to not shout when they're walking through the hallway, so you don't say to them, don't go down head first and don't shout in the hallway, because you've got they have no vision in their mind of what's expected from them. All you've told them is, go down head first, no. So what vision do they have in their mind? Going down head first. So what will happen? They'll get to the slide. If they remember what you said, then they'll start going down head first, and they said, oh, he said no. So I'm here, what do? I don't know. Okay, I'll just go. Because they have no other image. Right, they don't know what to do. Or they're busy shouting in the hallway, and they go, shouting in the hallway. He said shouting, right? He said shouting. Shouting in the hallway. No. Oh, so what do? I don't know. I'll shout again. Right, what do you just do? Whenever they tell me they'll shout, they shout as well. That's the only vision that I have. That's the only image that I have. I know. So you have to make it in a way which is relevant to what you want. You can't say, I'm not going to look at inappropriate images. So what are you going to do? I'm not going to look. So what happens when there's an inappropriate image there? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to look. Okay, but you're looking. So what are you going to do to stop? I don't know. I didn't think about that. It can't be that it's not the negative, because you haven't said what you're going to do. It has to be something positive. So going back to the example of the children, you have to say, slide feet first. Ah, now I have a vision. I'm going down feet first. Then they have what to work with now. You say, whisper in the hallway. They go, okay, they know what to do now. You've shown them a vision of what it is. It has to be a positive, clear act they have to do. So, if, for example, a person knows they're tempted to look at something inappropriate, they have to have some other alternative, positive act that they do when they're tempted. You can't just say, don't look at something inappropriate, because then what do? Don't look. No. What is it they do? They have no other act, right? They stop looking, they look again. But if you tell them, so I gave an example here, but this is one example, you can do many other things. They say, if I feel overwhelmed with desire to go look at something inappropriate, I'm going to go and do press-ups. 10 press-ups. Something, you know, which is, I get involved in doing something else. That's a clear, positive, measurable other act that I'm able to get involved in doing. So don't say a negative one. Don't say I won't do something negative. I want to make it very clear. You can take a Kabbalah in an area of stopping something negative. That's fine. But when you actually make the Kabbalah, it should be finding something positive to do to stop you doing the negative thing. So you're involved in an action, not just not doing something, and you're just kind of stuck there. That's the M. A. Able. There's a few guidelines on this. Right? According to the Rambam just before, the Rambam says that you have to set up your Kabbalah in a way that Hashem will testify about you, that you'll be successful in it. Which perhaps is the Rambam's way of saying, you have to set it up in a way which it can be successful. There's no way you can take on a Kabbalah from the beginning where it's so overwhelming for you. Let's say you have an area which you know is your big challenge, your huge challenge, and you've been failing in this area for the last 4, 5, 6 years. So don't take on a Kabbalah which is dead against, right set against that area which you've been failing for, and when you say, I'm going to stop it, but you have no idea how you're going to stop it because you know that it's overwhelming for you. Right? I dare to say that right now you're not able to. So, meaning at least you're not able to do it in a way where I'm just going to stop. That you're not able to. So you have to set it up in a way which is something which you can see that you believe that you will be able to do. Which means making it in a way which is practical. So here's some guidelines on how to do that. So you have to set yourself up for success. Something which you believe you can do. What are the guidelines? Number one, take on the smallest, easiest Kabbalah. So in whatever area it is, make it tiny, 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 the smallest. One of the Gedolei Mashgichim of two generations ago used to say that when you get to Ne'ilah, the main work is cutting down your Kabbalahs. And until then you've said, I want to be good at this area, this area, this area, this area. And the goal of Ne'ilah is to say, smaller, 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 smaller. Until you end up with this tiny thing. And that's all? Yes, because that's doable. It has to be something which you believe that I can do in my life. That's all it is. You're asking from me that I can be successful in. Take on the smallest East Kabbalah, Dine Be'eri, I used to say. What do you want to work on? And then you would say four times. Halve it, and then halve it again, and then halve it again, and then halve it again, and then take it on. Because the goal is to be successful. The goal is not to have my long-term vision right now. You won't be successful. You can't jump many steps in one go. So yes, have your long-term vision, but then halve it, halve it, halve it, halve it. So that now I have something to work with that I can actually work with. It's bite-sized. It's doable. So whatever it is that your bigger vision is, it has to be something which you're likely to succeed in. Make it small. So one reason why you should make it small is because you're more likely to succeed. Another reason which Yisrael Sarant used to speak about is there's a Gemara in Menachos that speaks about tzitzis. All those tcheles, people are going to be excited now. So there's white and there's tcheles. And the Gemara in Menachos says, which does a person get more punishment for not wearing? If someone doesn't wear tzitzis, which do they get more punishment for wearing? Is it for not wearing the tcheles or not wearing the white? And the Gemara says for not wearing the white. Because tcheles is hard to come by, it's expensive. So if someone doesn't wear that, then they have an explanation, they have an excuse. It makes sense, it's justifiable. But white is cheap, it's easy to come by. If someone's not wearing that, they're held more accountable. So if there's something which in theory is really easy for you to do, and you're not doing it, then in Shamayim, you're held more accountable for something which is overwhelming for you and very challenging. So that's another reason why to take on something very small. A, because you're more likely to be successful, and B, because you're held more accountable for those easy things that you just weren't doing and you could have done. Because why didn't you do it? There's nothing holding you back. That's point number one, take on the easiest thing. That's from Rav Yisrael Sarant. And this next point is from Dessler. I love this point from Rav Dessler. But Dessler, in the name of his father, writes the following idea. He says, whenever you take on a Kabbalah, so ahead of time you don't always know exactly what your capability is. Right? It's a new area that you're going into. So you also don't know that you're going to be in different times. Bein Hazmanim is not the same as Zman. Right? After you've been in Yeshiva for a long time, it's different from when you first come to Yeshiva. When you're around certain groups of friends, different around other groups of friends. So you yourself are a dynamic individual. So he would say you should make a Kabbalah which has a range. It has a maximum and it has a minimum. So for example, let's say it's coming up to Ben Azmani. And during Zman, you know that you can learn 10 hours a day. Because that's how the schedule works and it's very easy to. You're able to learn much more than you're able to learn before you came to Yeshiva because you didn't believe that you'd be able to. But suddenly you come to Yeshiva and you're able to learn full stop because you have chavrusas and that's the Seder and everything's going well. Ben Azmani might be a bit different. So you want to take on learning Mezman. How much are you going to learn in Ben Azmani? How? So this year is a little different because there's also going to be much more structure than normal. But let's say, how long are you going to learn at a time when you're not expecting to learn? So if you say, well, I think I could learn 6 hours a day. If I normally learn 10 hours a day, and I think I could learn 6 hours a day. So don't say 6 hours a day. Because if you say six, then you're setting yourself up for a challenge. If you managed it, wonderful. And what if you were only able to do 5.5? You say, oh, that was a failure. I didn't do it. So tomorrow I won't do any learning. Maybe because you've already broken it, right? So rather, make a maximum and a minimum. Ideally, I would like to learn 6 hours a day. But minimum, what's my minimum? What could I definitely do even if I'm set up with all the challenges? What's my minimum? I think a minimum would be, for me, 3/4 of an hour. That's a given. In between Mincha and Maariv, I'm anyway in Shul, I have to be there anyway, I'm going to step out of Shul. 45 minutes, then that I can definitely do. Okay, fine, minimum, maximum. That way you're setting yourself up for success. If you can do your ideal, wonderful. And if you can't, at least you've got a minimum. There's another yeshiva in Israel, somewhere near the Kotel, where there's a rabbi who's very dynamic and has unique expressions. So he was once giving a talk to his boys before Ben Azmanim. And he said to them, he said, I'm not going to do the impersonation because I don't feel it's Kavara Torah. Halachically, I don't think it's Kavara Torah for a person to impersonate a rabbi. So I'm not going to do it. I'm emphasizing that strongly, and you'll hear that again pre-Purim. So he said to his boys, I want everyone to accept upon themselves that they're going to learn 5 minutes a day during Ben Azmanim. And they were all like, oh, okay, 5 minutes a day, 5 minutes a day. Rabbi, we're learning hours and hours and hours a day. Like, 5 minutes, what's the big deal? And then he called them back after Ben Azmanim. Did everyone learn 5 minutes a day? And there was a couple who didn't. And there were a couple who davened, but they were on Tiulim, and they were having fun, and they were with their friends, they were on outings. It was a full packed day. I didn't stop and learn 5 minutes a day. He says, all I asked for you was for 5 minutes. But it's an amazing thing. When you say 5 minutes, like, you laugh. Like, what's the big deal about 5 minutes? When you think about it, it could be that you won't even do 5 minutes. So make a minimum and a maximum. And that way, you're setting yourself up for success. Because even if you can't accomplish what you initially envisioned, you can always do it. I didn't write it here. I did. That's how I have to do in order. Next point, and I already mentioned this, but I'm going to mention it again. Not something against your basic nature. If you know that you have a particular area which is for you, your constant challenge throughout your life, you should always be working on it. You should always be working on it. You should always try and improve and find. But your Kabbalah shouldn't be in an area which is dafka against the hardest thing for you. Because then you may be setting yourself up for failure. So set up areas which could influence it, which could impact it. But don't go directly against the hardest thing. Not against your basic nature. And the last one, which is a very important one, is set up yourself with a plan where if you see that it's not working, what are you going to do? Because people often take on Kabbalahs without a knowledge of who they are or what they are. I have a classic story that I tell when I speak about this. And I was learning for a Rabbanut test. So I did a very foolish thing. Listen to what I did. I worked out how many pages of notes I had. And I had a large number of pages. And then I worked out how many days there were from that day until the test. There was a certain amount of days. And then I said, okay, well, let's divide the amount of pages I have by the days. And it worked out that I had to do something like 25 of my pages, like these pages, around 25 pages a day. So I said, okay, 25 pages a day. That's good. Let's go. So the first day, I did 15. I said, oh my gosh, I'm 10 pages behind. Okay, tomorrow I'm doing 35 pages. I have to make it up. And the next day, I did 15 again. I go, oh my God, tomorrow I have to do 45 pages. I said, whoa, what's going on here? 1 second. I did this the wrong way around. I forgot to take one very crucial factor into account. Me. That's the most important thing to take into account. I worked out pages and I worked out time. What about my ability? I didn't take that into account. Sometimes people make Kabbalahs without taking themselves into account. And they see that they were totally off mark. Right? It was just totally inappropriate what they did. So you can make yourself a certain date. But let's say 5 days or a week or 2 weeks, which you'll reassess. Not that you'll reassess having a Kabbalah, you'll definitely have a Kabbalah. But you'll reassess, is this working? Build that into the system. Make yourself with a plan that it's going to work. So say, by the end of Sukkot, I'm going to reassess it. If it's not working, I'm going to adapt the Kabbalah. You can do that. The goal is to keep it going, right? So you can keep it going in a way that's going to be successful. So I said, make a leeway plan, and if you didn't succeed, you can make it up the next day, or you can readapt it. Here, resh, arm. Relevant. Ooh, that's an important one. Relevant. In an area in tune with what you specifically need to work on. Right? So it shouldn't be just random. I heard that Rabbi Eliyahu Lapion used to fast every Monday and Thursday. That's it, my Kabbalah, fasting every month. What's that going to do with you? What's that going to do with you? You don't know why he was fasting. You don't know if your metabolism works the fast. Mazeh kashor. You have to choose something which is relevant to you. You have to do the first page that we gave out yesterday. And then once you've worked out your area that you feel would be a core area for you to work on, take a relevant Kabbalah which you need to work on. After doing a cheshbon nefesh, and you see reoccurring themes, then you'll pick it up. And another point, the second point within relevant, it should be something explicit in halacha. It shouldn't be something where I heard this Kabbalistic idea, which is like an extra thing to take on, or some like far-fetched thing, which is like a nice idea, but disconnected. Like, there is so, I imagine that everyone in this room, although they try to keep every area of halacha, there are some areas of halacha that they're not so muck with them.
which are explicit in Mishnah Berurah. So before you start taking on kabbalas of extra things, first say halacha. Take on something which is halacha. That should be primary. Active, positive halacha. And the last one is, and there's two within this, the T, the end of the smart. One is a time frame. On the one hand, it shouldn't be that it's overwhelming that you want to accomplish a lot all in one go, but it also shouldn't be that next Elul I'm going to do tshuva earlier. Right? Okay, so what are you going to do for the next 11 months? Right? It should be something which is realistic. Set yourself guidelines where it's once a day, it's three times a week, it's once a day in the evening, it's once a day in the evening at a certain time in the beginning of Sedex. Make a time frame where it's very clear to you the time of when you're doing it daily and by when you want to accomplish a certain level. And also tefillin. Whatever area you take on, you should also daven to Hashem for success in that area. Make it part of your daily davening. If you've taken a Kabbalah in a particular area, then at the end of Shemona Esrei, when you say the psukim of your name before Yul Ratzon, then also say an extra tefillah to be successful in this particular area. And that will give extra chizuk. Because you have a Kodesh Baruch Hu working with you. You have a partner who's also encouraging you and helping you out. Hashem sees that you're taking it seriously, not only in action, but also in emunah. You're davening and asking him for success. Two last points of chizuk. Don't be surprised if specifically in the area that you've taken on, you will very shortly after you take it on be given a big test in that area. Just like when a ship sets sail, then the beginning is often very hard because the tide is working against you. But once you get out of that area, then it's easier to sail. When a bird starts flying, it's flapping and flapping and flapping. But once it reaches a certain height, then it can catch the wind and it can flow. So in an area of a Kabbalah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will often test you at the beginning. And he'll dafka send you some big challenge in the area which you've taken on to see if you're made of steel. Are you taking this seriously? Don't be surprised. Expect it. And when you're expecting it, then you're waiting for it. You're looking forward to it. You say, Hashem, I've taken this Kabbalah and I'm serious about it. And you send me the challenge. I know that you're also sending me the ability to overcome that challenge because you believe in me, Hashem. I know you do. And therefore, expect and know that in the area you've taken on the Kabbalah, there'll be a challenge, but don't think it's going to be like that throughout. Once the ship gets past those waves, once the bird gets past that initial intense flapping, from then on it'll be easy. Just have to get past that initial point. That's chizuk number one. And chizuk number two is, you have to constantly learn Musa in order to keep this idea going. If you're not learning Musa, then you had an inspiration for a moment, but you don't have anything keeping you going. It's like a car. At some point, the fuel runs out. And you don't say, but I filled the tank. Why is it stopped? Because the fuel runs out. In any area that you take on, in Avodas Hashem, he designed it in a way that you have to keep connected to him. You have to keep learning Musa. So if you've taken on a Kabbalah in a particular area, learn Musa in that area. If, just to make something very small and easy and practical, if you find one phrase in the words of Chazal or in a Musa Sefer or in Tehillim, which you feel is a phrase which capitalizes, like really, that incorporates what you want to take on, some pasuk, some phrase of Chazal, and you can write that phrase on the inside of your siddur, or you can write it in some place that you're going to see daily. And that could be the daily Musa boost that you get, as well as learning Musa in general, but it's having some phrase, and you can put it out by your bed, by your cupboard, or when you open your cupboard, you see it there, have some pasuk or some quote from Chazal, or you could make up a phrase, doesn't matter, but something which is encouraging, which you will see on a daily basis, that will give you the chizuk that you need in that area to keep it going. If you follow these guidelines, and if anyone has other ones they want to share with them, I'm happy to hear them and incorporate them. If you follow these guidelines, you're much more guaranteed success in this area. So with the vision that we spoke about at the beginning, the Tahara Salev, where you desire to come close to Hashem, together with the lightning rod, practical, down-to-earth Kabbalah, you take it for yourself, you'll be successful, Be'ezrat Hashem, in your accomplishment of goal of Yom Kippur. Shalom.